Good morning. You can notice in the order of worship that we're going to begin a new sermon series this morning. Between now and throughout the fall, we're going to look at the book of Galatians from the New Testament, a letter the Apostle Paul wrote to the churches in Galatia. It's an area of modern-day southern Turkey. And so we're going to kind of make our way slowly through this and try to see what it is that this message was that brought freedom and life to the people, and how Paul is reminding them to hold on to it. And this morning, as we begin, we're going to kind of have a broader perspective of the kind of the general context and the history. Then we're going to move to kind of a little bit closer, what's the issue or concern. And then the last part this morning, we'll look at how Paul begins to address that. And so look at those three things together, and I invite you to look at your order of worship. You can see the first 10 verses of Galatians. Let's read that together. You can follow in your order or in your Bible. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. And we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. This is God's word given for our good. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for who you are. And Lord, we thank you that you've gathered us here. And we pray that you'd give us ears to hear, hearts of faith to receive your word, that you may meet us and comfort us by your truth and by your gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, I'm going to have kind of three parts to our sermon. This kind of broader history, story of this letter, the issue, and then how Paul begins to address it. And so maybe as a way to start with the largest part, the history, I'll tell you, we had a garage sale at my house yesterday. My oldest daughter, Grace, organized it. We told her if she put it all together, she could keep the money. But as things were laid out on our, you know, kind of the parkway on the side of the house, I don't know if you ever had this, but you know, things come out of boxes, and you remember, oh, I remember when we bought this. Oh, I remember when you used to play with this, or when we actually used to use this. Not all things, you know, were viewed so, you know, fondly. Some were more fond than others. But I noticed that, and maybe it's just, you know, that I kind of nostalgic, but that these things that are being sold for 50 cents, they have a story behind them, right? A story of when they were purchased, or how they were received, or how they were used in the family. At one point, my 10-year-old daughter Lila was wearing the top of an Elmo costume that was hers when she was, I think, 2 or 3 years old. Another time, we saw, you know, a red ninja suit or some board games that used to be that we would play together. There's a story behind these objects. And it might be strange to compare these kind of 50-cent garage sale items to God's Word, but I want us to think the same way when we open our Bible and flip to these few pages of Galatians. There's a story behind this letter. A story that might not be obvious to us right away, but a story that is important to understand why it was written, and the story of what Paul was trying to do to care for the people there. All the things from the garage sale were either sold or they were gotten rid of. We have a policy, they never come back in the house, they stay out. But God's word is here, and I want us to think about the story, that the story of this letter of Galatians and their faith, it begins long before this letter was written. It was written, it starts before even the Apostle Paul, the writer, before his name was Paul. The story of this letter we're going to look at begins when his name was still Saul, and that he vigorously and actively sought to persecute the early church, to arrest the followers of Jesus. Saul sought this with all his energy and all his might, and he continued to do so until Jesus, the risen Jesus, appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus. And all of Saul's life changed in that moment. That the risen Jesus told him to stop persecuting his people. The risen Jesus invited him to follow and to share this message with the nations, saying, "Follow me and proclaim my good news to all the world." And so from that point, Saul goes forth with a new name. Now he's Paul, a follower of Christ. He goes forth not just with a new name, but over the next 30 years, he goes forth with a new message. He travels throughout Europe, throughout the Mediterranean world, proclaiming this message of Christ that he received and starting new churches wherever people would respond in faith. And as he traveled, he shared a consistent message, one that we can see through the book of Acts and other letters that he wrote. He shared the gospel of Jesus. Not one that he created, but one that he had received. And it went something like this. He said to all that would listen, "There is one God, the one who created the world, the God of Israel. And this one God has chosen now at this time to unveil his plan for the world, to unveil," Paul said, "the mystery of God." And he chose to do this unveiling, this revealing in that person, Jesus, a Jew from the town of Nazareth who was the Christ, the anointed one, the king of the Jews. And this Jesus was put to death by the Romans, but that's not the end of the story. Paul went on to say that this one who revealed God's mystery, Jesus, was raised from the dead and was given the name above all names and now sits as Lord over all the nations. This was Paul's message. But he went on further to explain the gospel further and the mystery further, saying that it's through this Jesus that God is forming one people, one family, a people that are no longer marked by the divisions and lines of our world. It's no longer going to be one table for the Jews and another table for the Gentiles, but the work of Jesus is so profound that one people is now being gathered together, one family. And the basis is that this family does not rest in your ethnicity or in your parents or what you have accomplished or promised to accomplish, but it rests first and forever in faith in Jesus, the Savior and Lord, the one risen by God. Now, this might be something familiar to us. So I don't know how it strikes you, but in the world, it was shocking to talk about one who was risen from the dead, and it was also equally shocking to talk about the possibility there could be one people that breaks down walls of hostility and division. But this is the gospel that Paul preached, the gospel that he received from Christ. And in the face of a lot of ridicule and rejection and persecution, he shared it wherever he went. And by God's grace, he shared it in Galatia, and churches began to form there. Churches gathered around this person, Christ, and new communities representing this one family began to form. And after ministering in Galatia, this modern-day southern Turkey, Paul, as his practice was, he moved on to new places to share the good news. But after he moved on, he heard reports back from Galatia. He heard reports about what was happening in the churches there, and he was concerned. Maybe you've experienced something similar. You get an email, a text, a letter. Remember those handwritten letters? And the report's not good. The report is concerning. And so Paul did what was his practice, that he wrote a letter to the churches that he helped start. And that is what we have before us, the Epistle to the Galatians. One of Paul's earliest letters, written around 50 AD. And do you notice how it opens? Do you notice how he starts? He goes some quick introductions of himself, but right away there is this strong language, right? Energy from the very beginning. He's surprised. He is astonished, seemingly a little angry. And what does he write? He says, "I am astonished that you are deserting the one who called you in grace I am troubled, I am astonished that the gospel is being distorted or left behind. This is not a good thing, it is a curse. And so what is happening? What's happening? We talked about this history, the story that brings us here, but the second part is to ask, what is the issue? Why is Paul so troubled? What was the reports that he was hearing? Well, it seems that after Paul left, a group emerged within the church that said that Paul's message wasn't quite right. His message wasn't true. He was mistaken and confused, and there was a couple parts of how that confusion worked out. There were new voices that were not so sure about the gospel of faith or about this vision of there being one family, one people. These new voices were saying that we have to follow the Jewish customs, that if you want to be part of the church, that you need to keep the dietary laws, you need to practice circumcision, you need to follow the ceremonial laws of the people of God, of Israel, and that's what's necessary if you are going to be truly pleasing to God. Yes, following Jesus is good, but to be fully acceptable to God, to be fully part of his people, to kind of be fully brought in, then everyone, both Jews and Gentiles, need to follow the law of Moses. And therefore, what the gospel has become, the real message, the real gospel the church is now invited to hear, is that you are welcome. All of you are welcome into God's family as long as you follow these certain laws. As long as the men are circumcised and you adopt certain eating practices or certain traditions that have historically kept Jews and Gentiles apart. So why is Paul so troubled? He's troubled because these new voices are altering the gospel that he received from God. And he's troubled because the altering of this message has profound consequences, both vertically with God and horizontally with each other. In the vertical relationship with God, think here that Paul's saying to the church, you have turned from a free gift of life given in Christ, a free gift that we receive with open hands. You've turned from that, and you are now pursuing life by earning God's approval, like a wage, not a gift, but a wage that you can earn if you do the right things. One of the stories that Jesus told that I often find meaningful or helpful to picture is he talked about the kingdom of God as a mustard seed. He said it's like the tiniest of seeds. Maybe you've planted seeds or seen them grow, but Jesus said it's like taking a mustard seed and putting it in the ground, and this little seed will grow into a great bush, into a tree that has life. That is a place of rest and shelter and shade, a place of home for animals or for the birds of the sky. He said that's what the kingdom of God is like. It starts with a truth, and it grows into something full of life. And Paul is inviting us to think about with the Galatians that if that seed is changed, then what grows will change as well. See, the seed of the gospel, it was to grow so that you and I would have assurance that God has sought us, that we may rest in his faithfulness. And therefore, when you and I, when we suffer, when things are broken, when we are confronted with the mistreatment of those by those around us, or we ourselves sin, or when life is very difficult and painful, that we do not turn to our strength or how we can earn our wage once again, that we are invited to the faithfulness and the sheltering love of God. Paul says if that seed has been replaced, then that tree will not provide you the shelter you long for and that you need. But not only are there vertical consequences, there's horizontal ones. For that seed that was to grow into a tree, that tree that the blossoming and the life will not just be our assurance, but it's connected to us being reconciled to one another. You see, Paul, throughout this letter, is not just making a theological argument about ideas. he recognizes the social and racial lines that existed in Galatia. And he's arguing that the gospel, if we cling to that seed, the part of the fruit that it brings forth is to learn how to be one people, one family. And that one family is rooted in that seed that tells us that we are invited by God's grace, that we now can turn and share that grace with one another. That seed of grace invites us and actually directs us to see each other as those made in God's image and as those that we humbly receive and welcome. But what happens if we exchange that seed for something else? What grows in its place? You and I know this. When the seed is about our performance or about our wage, then we stay rivals with each other. We stay competitors. Whether with us or those our neighbors around us, we hold on to lines about how we can keep ours or make sure we have what we want. Paul wants the church to see that the gospel brings them life and assurance and faith, but the gospel also helps them to see that they're invited into not just the possibility, but the call to reconcile with those around them, even those who are different or on other sides of lines and barriers in society. The other day I was walking on Lawrence. Maybe you've noticed this. There's the MB Bank. On Western and Lawrence, there's a large bank there. And I've walked past it many, many times. But I noticed all of a sudden I started counting that there are 9 car lanes or car stalls that you can drive up and do banking on the side of the building. It doesn't even make sense today. But long ago, people remember, used to drive up to the bank. They'd put their deposit slip or their cash or their checks into these little vacuum tubes, drop it in, and it would shoot it across to the teller. And the teller would send back whatever was asked for. I remember this as a child going with my parents because often where we went, lollipops would come back in the little vacuum tubes, and so I got a lollipop. This was before ATMs and before online banking and phones. But I walked by the MB Bank, and I realized there's 9 spots for cars to pull up and bank at the same time. Now, 99% of the time I've walked by there, I've never seen 1 car. Imagine how things change, right? There was a time when it made sense to have that much there, that many people driving in to bank. And now today, how do we do it? We do it with our phone or online or however is convenient. And it made me think about how quickly things can change, how quickly we adapt maybe to new technologies or new processes. But I was also struck as I looked at that and how things changed, that how some things stay the same. We might change our banking, but the lines and the barriers, the racial lines of our society hold strong. Why is that so hard? I don't know what the Galatians were experiencing, but I imagine that there was a point in which they were excited about the message that Paul gave, faith in Christ. And I imagine that maybe you were even excited to the idea of welcoming in the Gentiles, welcoming in their neighbors that were different from them. But somewhere along the lines, they began to slip back into old ways, old practices, saying, I don't really like this because it makes things uncomfortable or makes me have to let go of things that seem important to me. Somehow they've let slip away the gospel, and they've let them slip away how they can be free from the social barriers or divisions or categories that have been given to them. And so we can lament, part of reading Galatians is to lament the church in Galatia and in today, when there are times when we exchange the seed of life and seed of reconciliation, we let go of it because of prejudice or because of selfishness or because of just wanting to hold on to old practices. Paul is addressing these things, and that's why he's so troubled. And we'll see more as we go along in this letter, but there's 2 ways in which he addresses it throughout. He talks about him being an apostle, and he talks about the gospel. And he gives us just a hint here. Do you notice how he introduces himself? I am an apostle, not called by man or by men, but through Jesus Christ. You see, his authority to teach and his message were tied together. And so Paul has to defend his role in order to defend the message that was so precious to him and to all that would gather there. I'm not coming here to please you. I'm not coming here to earn your respect. I'm coming to share the message that was given to me, Paul says. And he goes to great length to say that this message is the center, so much so that even if I, Paul says, tell you something different, even if I begin to change my message and tell you to do something different, then you should not listen to me. Because the basis is not Paul, the basis is not a certain teacher. He says the basis of the faith of the church is hearing and receiving the gospel, the seed that grows life. This is part of the why that Galatians and the scriptures as a whole are revolutionary, saying that there is no human being or no institution that can stand above them, but that the church is built upon the word of God and the gospel. Paul is not making a power play, not wanting to hold on to his influence, but rather inviting all of us to hold to what he has received, which is the gospel. And he will go further explaining the gospel throughout the chapters in front of us, but he gives us just a hint of it. Do you see how he introduces this idea of grace? Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of God our Father. It's possible that we may think of Christians simply as those who respect Jesus' teaching or want to follow his example. It's possible that's how we can think of Christianity, or our neighbors will think about it. It's those who respect his teaching or want to follow his example. But you notice that's not how Paul introduces the gospel. Jesus is not primarily introduced as a teacher, as an example, but as a rescuer, one who gave himself for our sins to deliver us. This is the good news. The order of the gospel is always that God has moved towards us, that God has come to rescue us, and then in light of that, we follow him. That is why God, not us, that is why God receives the glory forever and ever, for he has pursued you. He has sought you in Christ, not because of what you had done to get his attention or what you promised to do, but because of his great love for you. Let us not turn away from this and hold on to some kind of self-salvation or self-approval or finding ways to lift ourselves above others or to earn a wage. Let us not turn to those things, but let us cling to Jesus, our deliverer. For freedom rests in our seeing our need and our inability and us seeing the graciousness of God for us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for who you are. Now I thank you that you have been good and gracious to us in Christ. We pray, Lord, that you give us faith to receive it and faith to cling to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.